So, Nidcha Yudches Tammuz, Sunday the 8th of July, Rabbi Shimshon Silkin, The Blessing of a Cursed Nation. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Greenberg, Liskus, Morena Harav, Pinchas Ben Miriam, Devorah Shlita, Yehirot Son, Yizachel Lufur, Shlema, Bekorah, Pesach, Sharech, Holy Israel.
Amen.
Rabbi Roberts.
Good morning. So we are standing on Shivasa B'Tammuz, Nidcha, but Shivasa B'Tammuz on the one hand, and also between the parishes of Balak and Pinchas. And I'm going to try, B'Lineda Be'ez Hashem, to connect the dots. Of course, Balak and Pinchas are already connected because, unusually, Parshas Pinchas really is the continuation of Parshas Balak. It's an unusual phenomenon, really. Most parishes begin sort of on their own. There are tzustels between parishes oftentimes, like Valoscha and Shlach Lecha, but they didn't learn the lesson. But normally, there's a break. Here, Pinchas really is just what happened, is sort of the epilogue of what took place at the end of Parshas Balak. So, to begin with the pasuk in Parshas Kisetse, in reference to the klalos of Bilam, pasuk says, "V'loy ova Hashem elokecha lishmoya al Bilam." HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not desire to listen to Bilam. "Bayahafoich Hashem lechoes haklala livrocha." So Hashem converted the klala, the curse, livrocha, into a blessing. "Ki ahivcha Hashem elokecha," because Hashem loves you. So immediately Chazal pick up on that pasuk. Because it says, "Vayafuch Hashem lecha es haklala livrocha," the curse, singular, livrocha, into the plural. Into the singular. Whereas you'd expect it to be in the plural. Because as we read yesterday on Shabbos, all the klalas emerged as brochas. It ought to say, "Vayafuch Hashem lecha es haklalois livrochois ki ahivcha Hashem elokecha." Rather, it says, "Es haklala livrocha." So this needs a pshat, why we're only referencing one single klal into brocha, not all of them.
They don't seem
clawless
at all.
No, they're brochas. He had in mind the klalos. They were converted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu into brochas. Except in Parshas Kisetse, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu only converted one klal into a brocha. And really, it seems like he converted all of them into brochas. So why is it in the singular form? It's like klal brocha. So, in order to try and understand this, Pasuk also said in Parshas Balak, "V'yodea das Elyon." One of the things that we accredit to Bilam was that he was a Yodea das Elyon, which means that he was able to know or to connect to the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol. Yodea das Elyon, says the Gemara. Hashta das behemta lo habayoda. Das Elyon habayoda. He couldn't even understand the mind of his donkey. The mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will understand. So the Gemara goes on to say, the Gemara's in Brochus Daf Yitzayin, the Gemara's also here in Sanhedrin Daf Kafei Omen Beis. So the Gemara basically tells us that Bilam had profound prophetic powers. He had an unbelievable level of Nevuah, Kiyidua. The level of Bilam's Nevuah was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu's, if not even greater. As Rashi says, in order not to give the Umus HaOlam a Pischa in Peh. That's why the pasuk says, "Lo kom novi oid be Yisrael kemoishe asher yoda Hashem bonim aponim." But of course, amongst the Israelim there was, and his name was Bilam. Bilam had an amazing level of devor. And as the Gemara says, based on the pasuk Yudea das Elyon, that Bilam was able to connect through his nevuah to the highest possible level of das, which we'll come back to later. The Gemara tells us in Brachos exactly what this means, and what it says is that there is a tiny moment in every day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits bedin, sits in judgment. It's a fraction of a nanosecond. It's the briefest moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves away from Rachamim and he sits bedin, he sits in judgment. Benegea to Kal Yisrael, benegea to the world. And Bilam, Gemara says, was able to calculate that fraction of a second. This is what it means that he was Yodea Das Elyon. And in that second, Bilam managed to inject his package of klolus into that environment of din, and because we know it's impossible to survive under the rule of din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says that in so doing, Bilam was taka able, we'll have to try and understand what this means, but Bilam was taka able to curse Klal Yisrael in that fraction of a moment. Because he is Yodei Das Elyon, and he knows when that moment is, Bilam was able to insert into that tiny second a klala against Klal Yisrael, to the extent that actually we are mistaken when we say that all the klalas were converted into brachas, because in reality they were only converted into brachas temporarily. Actually, because the pasuk says it's a klala livracha, we know that apart from one bracha, all the other klalas reverted back into klalas again at some point in Jewish history. In other words, Bilam was able to work out that moment in time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in judgment, and therefore, even though the klalas were converted into brachas, they were only converted into brachas temporarily. But over time, all the klalas, slowly but surely, reverted back from their temporary state of bracha back into klala again, apart from one. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Vayahavich Hashem lecha es haklala livracha," singular, because the other klalas, even though temporarily they turned into brachas, eventually they turned back into klalas again. And this is because Bilam had the ability to work out when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in din and insert his klalas into that moment, and therefore all of those klalas eventually materialized over the course of time. So Tosus there asks the question, what possibly could Bilam have said in such a fraction of a moment to bring about such horrendous klalas against Klal Yisrael over the course of time? What can be said in one moment, in a flash of a tiny second, that can bring about such damage against Klal Yisrael over time? Zoktoisvus kiyodua, all Bilam had to say was kalim, destroy them. Kalim means to destroy them, from Loshon Kloyo. Vayochulu hashomayim v'ho'oretz, end, bring an end. Hatoiv kiloi cholu rachamecha, cholu is a Loshon of finishing off. Finish them off, destroy them, annihilate them, exterminate them. Bring them to an end, that's all he has to say. Bilam said the word kalim, and somehow, in so doing, Bilam was able to bring about such tremendous damage and inflict so much harm against Klal Yisrael. In a second, just saying the word kalim somehow brought that about. Pashtetach, that doesn't give us enough, because we learned an entire parasha yesterday. Kiyotuah, this forum said, if you want to know what Bilam had in mind to curse Klal Yisrael, all you need to do is read what the bracha was and then just turn it into its negative. All the person needs to understand. All a person needs to do in order to understand what Bilam was trying to achieve is to read the positive and to put it into the mirror. And there are klolos nachanant. And in one word, kalim, somehow Bilam was able to achieve all this damage. So Shtei Maharal and other places as well. And we need to try and analyze that word kalim. Vos meint kalim, what is it trying to tell us? If we can understand kalim, we can understand also klolos levrocha. And why taka the klolos eventually materialized. In this forum it says as follows. Kiyodua, every human being is created b'tzelem Elokim, which itself should be a stira to basic Torah Hashgacha. Because we know that it's not possible to attribute tzelem to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a tzelem. It's a deraisa to attribute a tzelem to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet we talk about the tzelem, the form of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of its association with mankind. And the way that it's explained in various different places is that there is something unique about the human being that is not observed amongst all the other animals on earth. There's something very special about the human animal that cannot be seen amongst all the other animals. And that is the fact that a human being walks through the world upright. This is what it means, Tzelem Elokim. Of course it doesn't mean a form of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but there's a divine element to the physical anatomy of the human being. There's a divine element to that. And that is the idea that they walk upright through the world, unlike any other creature, even the penguins, because their natural mode of transport is swimming, actually. It takes them an age to walk on their feet. The natural mahalach through the world only the human being has, in the sense that they are completely vertical. Why is that significant? The Sforim says, Pasha, why is it significant? Because the human being is comprised of three critical components. There's the upper component, there's the lower component, and then there's the middle region, which needs to battle between the higher region and the lower region. The higher region, that's the mind. And the mind, kiyadua, is the seat of the neshama. People often point to their hearts and they talk about my soul. But the reality is, we said this morning when we put our tefillin on, HaNeshama Shebamoichim Sheochu Shebachachoysai Kulom Yiyum Shebodim Lavedoso Yisparach Shemoi. The Moach is the seat of the neshama. Because the seichel sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the seichel was left to its own devices, we'll come back to this later. If the seichel was left to its own devices, it would demand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The seichel demands a higher authority, demands a higher intelligence. That's the Moach, that's the seat of spirituality, that's the seat of neshama. Unfortunately, the human being also has a lower region. This is the region of the nefesh, ki ha-dam hu ha-nefesh, because the dam, which is the physical force of a person, is the element that drives them towards avera. It's the element that drives them towards bad midas, anger and taiva, food in general, all of that. That belongs in the lower regions of the person's form. That makes him unique. And all of that dam is processed through the liver, and therefore the Sforim say that the lower region gets its name, Kovet. Or some places it's called Kaloyos, but in most places it's called the Kovet. In between these two powers, these two regions, these two energies that are trying to pull the person apart, because the neshama is reaching upwards, and the guf is being gravitationally pulled downwards, you have the region called the lev. The lev is the heart, and the heart is the area that needs to negotiate between the upper and the lower regions. The lev is the place, the mokam ha-bechira, is the seat of bechira, of free choice, because the mind demands good behavior, and the guf, and the lower regions demand bad behavior. It's as simple as that, to put it in black and white. And the lev has to struggle on a regular basis between the upper and the lower. This is the way that we are. And what makes a person unique is that they stand in the format that ideally means that the mind should control the lev, which should control the kovet, because that's the order. The mind, the seat of the neshama, should be controlling the lev, which is the seat of the bechira, which in turn should be controlling the taivas that exist in the lower hemisphere, so to speak, of the person's build-up. And if that is the case, then they can be claimed to be having Tzelem Elokim. And it's this Tzelem Elokim, interestingly, which drives away the animals. Because an animal who doesn't have this Tzelem is because he doesn't have a Moach. They may have some sort of brain, but they don't have a mind. An animal has the ability to work out how they're going to best... The animal has the ability to work out how they are best going to survive. That's it. That's all an animal ever thinks about. They're not thinking about leaving their legacy behind. They're not thinking about the broader picture. They're not thinking about their environment. They're not thinking about their great-grandchildren. All an animal thinks about is, how can I survive? An animal sees another animal that's smaller than it, that it can eat and use as its prey. It dives in and eats it. It doesn't start thinking about, you know, the pain of the poor mother. Right? It doesn't start thinking about where exactly should it go in to reduce the pain as much as possible. That's what it does. An animal dives in, grabs the little baby calf, and starts ripping it to shreds. No anesthetic, doesn't go for the throat, doesn't worry about consciousness, doesn't speak to the board of shechita to work out exactly how best to take this apart. I'm hungry, there's food, dosi dos. It doesn't have a moyach. They have to struggle between what it should be aspiring to. Animals don't have aspirations. Whereas a human being, by definition, has a driving force that says, be a good person, improve your middos, develop your inner self. And if a person is living on that standard, then they have Tzelem Elokim, and therefore Shtein Maharal. That person is in control, that person is sovereign over their own selves, and therefore that person can be called a Melech, Melech, Oisis, Moach, Leiv, Kovet. Because the Moach, in this sense, is driving the lev, which is controlling the kovet, and that person can be considered Ba'atem Tiyuli Mamleches Koyanin the Goy Kodesh. Stos says ta prince, stos says ta king, someone who's in control. Kumsu gain Bilam, and he says Melech backwards. Bilam steps up and says, Kalein, if you can enter through the kovet, if you can control the kovet, not just control it, but corrupt the kovet, then the lave will follow suit, and eventually the moach is then imprisoned by that process, and all the moach is left to do is to go and justify the behavior of the kovet. That's how it works. Psychology, I have a fancy term for this, is called cognitive dissonance. We know about this because we deal with this in the world of Kirov all the time, where once the kovet is engaged, you've lost the battle. This is the way that it works. The kovet is the area of taivis and olam hazeh and gashmius and gufnius. And once that's engaged, it's not as if you can talk sense necessarily to the moach, because the moach has already lost the battle. Because the kovet controls the lev, and that controls the moach, that's kale, and that's destruction. And this is indeed what Bilam managed to achieve. We think that after Bilam cursed the Eden, tried to curse the Eden, and time and again he was thwarted, that we think that Bilam at that point left the scene. He doesn't leave the scene. Bilam goes to Vinos Moach. He's not a fool, this Bilam. He knows what he's doing. Bilam goes to Benos Moav. Kiyiduas brought down Chazal. That when Benos Moav attacked Bnei Yisrael, it wasn't just through Znus, the Kiyidua, but Emsa, the mice of Znus, the Benos Moav would whip out these little Geshkilach, these little Avodizoras, little idols. And they would say, are you mekabel this little figurine here? Are you mekabel it as your deity? Is this your new god? Is this your new belief system? And what are Bnei Yisrael going to say at that moment? Or whatever, of course, yes, no problem. Manage this process. But the kovet is engaged, the lev has lost the battle, so the moach, which is the area of belief and emunah and connection and attachment to the Rebbeinu Shloim, is fully corrupted, is diseased by this process. This is mamish kalim. And this was the approach of Bilam. This was his strategy to bring Klal Yisrael down. To enter through the back door, so to speak. To enter through Kovet, to corrupt the lev, which would eventually corrupt the Moach. And therefore, leider, unfortunately, over the course of time, those, because of what happened with Zimri and Cosby, leading into this week's parasha with Pinchas, who put out the fire, but it was too late because of what had happened. Therefore, over time, we still suffer from what Bilam had to say. Let alone Oy Miyichiyem Isumoy El, state Minigati Yishmael, which you're suffering from now. That's for a whole different shmooze. We've given it here before. You download it. I mean, get off the phone. What's also told me to Shiva Asa B'tamus? We said before, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu converted klala livracha. One klala, which was turned into a bracha, remained as a bracha. Velcha bracha is vaske then? That bracha was Matovu Oyalecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael. That bracha that we say every time we walk into the Beis Medrash, beautiful Beis Medrash like this now. The other one had character, but this is a Beis Medrash. How good are the oihalim of Yaakov and the mishkanos of Klal Yisrael? What's an oihal? What's a mishkan? Sikiyadu, an oihal is a mokum Torah. That we know from many places. The word oihal is a reference to Beis HaMedrash. Already by Yaakov we find, Yaakov is the Omed HaTorah in the world. Yaakov ishtom, yoishev oihalim. Yaakov sat in tents, he was learning Torah. By Yeshua Shevana, lo yomish mitoicha oihal, and so on and so forth. In other words, the oihel is always representation in the Torah, a place where you study, where you learn Torah. That's an oihel. A mishkan, the mishkan is the place of avodah. The mishkan was the mishkan avodah in the midbar, which eventually became the Beis HaMikdash. The mishkan is the place of avodah, and today the avodah, the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's done through tefillah. So that's the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Beis HaKnesses. In other words, Mishkan, which is the place of Avoda, that's the place of Tfilah, that's the base of Knesset, that's the Shul. That's the place of the base of Medrash. Why is that so important? And why was that the bracha that had to remain? Well, it's poshut why. Mitoich. That there's always this danger, the residue of Bilam's klolus, that would corrupt the leif, and eventually corrupt the moyach. The antidote to Bilam is to embolden and strengthen the moyach and to strengthen the leif. The strengthening of the leiv, that is through tefillah, and the strengthening of the mind, that is Talmud Torah. Matovu oyalecha Yaakov, Mishkan oisecha Yisrael, is the remedy, is the response to Bilam's attack on the person, where through corrupting the kovid, and everybody can be potentially corrupted by a kovid, the lave becomes diseased and the moyach becomes diseased. How does a person cleanse the moyach, cleanse the lave? Maltoi oil lecha and mishkan osecha. If you have elu boti medroshus or boti knesios, if we have a base of medrash where you can learn and a base of knesses where you can daven properly, then you have the answer to all the external stimuli, all the distractions, all the avodah zorahs, yetzaharahs, yitzrei hara that the world is filled with. The response is, you come into a base of medrash today, the base of medrash is a base of knesses, is a base of medrash, base of knesses, the same thing is all rolled into one nowadays. That's why mezuzahs on the doors, I presume, yeah. Mezuzahs on the door, v'chul, etc. As a din base of medrash, but lemaisa, you come into a place where you can learn and daven together, that's your response to Bilam. You send Bilam packing back on his donkey, back to where he came from, with the koyach of matov v'oyalecha Yaakov. Ki aheidcha Hashem elokecha, v'ibaldur rabbeinu shalom hadich lid gahat. Because the Baruch Hu needed to show his love and protect you at so kol hayomim, without Ohel Yaakov, Mishkan Osecha Yisrael, you're finished. Kum Tzogeinu Zayin V'Tammuz, the beginning of the Churban. Al Mo'ov De Ha'aretz, Al Ozbo Mester Rossi. Shtein Pasuk. Al Mo'ov De Ha'aretz, why was Eretz Yisrael lost? Al Ozbo Mester Rossi, because they walked away from our Torah. Say in the Gemara, remarkable statement. Say in the Gemara, Halavai, Oisi Ozvu, Vesterosi Shomoru. The Baruch Shalom says, if only they'd forgotten about me, but they just learned and kept and engaged themselves in my Torah. Remarkable thing. The Baruch Shalom says, Halavai, Oisi Ozvu. Forget about the Baruch Shalom, just learn. I mean, what is this? It's possible even to imagine that we could detach learning Torah from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. This is the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And the Ma'ad of Shatzis Poshes, as we said before. Vibalt, the response to Bilam, is Ma'atovu Oyalecha Yaakov, and that's the ultimate, because it all begins with the Moach. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, if people are struggling with anything, with their Yiddishkeit, with Inyoni, Tumah, and all of these things, so sometimes the urge is to connect directly back to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Let's go back straight in. Let's take route one. Let's go straight down the middle of the path. Let's go back to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Rebbeinu Shlomo says, wrong! It's not going to work! In Beis Vavos! Because the Kovid is corrupted. So the Moach is just going to follow suit. Nimein and all the intelligent people in the world, they see the Rebbeinu Shlomo, but why not? Why not? Because they don't want to! The Kovid says, Ich will leben wie Abahema. And then they bring up all the theories to support that system. So the Baruch Hashem says, you know what, don't come directly back to me. Oisi ozvu, leave me, put me to the side. Ves toilosi shamor, cleanse the mind, cleanse the process, cleanse the psyche. Cleanse the character, cleanse the personality. Learn Torah, engage. And trust me, you'll come back to the Baruch Hashem. Barosi yetzahor, barosi li Torah tavlin, dosi lepshat. So when Bilam says, Kalim, destroy Klal Yisrael, the response is, Batim Tiyuli Mamleches Koyanim, but the Mahalich to get through to the Mamleches, to the Melech, is to begin with the Moach, and the exercise of the Moach is the study of Torah. That's the response to Bilam. So it's muzayin that the resurrection of the Beis HaMikdosh of Yerushalayim Bechlal has to be to correct the original problem of Alma of the Horeth Al Ozbo Mes Toirasi, that it has to be ever more stronger and deeper connection to the process of learning Torah. So that the Moach is in control. And when the Moach is in control, the person is a melech. So to make it the last minute, to make it topical, some of you may be familiar with the term Higgs boson. No. Okay. The God particle. The God particle. So they've spent something to the effect of $64 billion in this mountain in Switzerland, creating what's called the Hadron Collider. And what they've been looking for, from what my limited science tells me, is that what they've tried to... They'll be looking for what's been referred to as the Higgs boson, known after Professor Higgs, or otherwise known as the God particle. Apparently, that which gives mass to matter. That, in other words, the entire universe relies on the concept of this particle being in existence. So what they did was that they tried to create conditions on Earth, a split fraction of a nanosecond subsequent to the Big Bang. And to observe all of its conditions and all of its state, and to see whether somewhere within there they could discover this particle that they've ironically called the God particle. Because this, obviously, is what gives the world its substance, it gives it its existence. Beautiful. $64 billion in 5 years in a Swiss mountain to discover what happened a split second after the Big Bang. Come to me, give me $65 billion, and I'll tell you what happened a split second before the Big Bang. Frege-chaich. All this effort, all of this, to try and discover what happened just after, and what happened just before. Well, they'll go rambling off. Prebiotic, organic soup, you know, chemicals, collusion. What's happening here? The brightest minds on Earth, the astrophysicists, the brilliant scientists, one end of the world to the other, 700 British scientists were involved in this. And that doesn't include the other 3,500 scientists around the world. To discover what? To say the Rebbeinu Chas V'Shalom, according to the God particle, but that's where it stops. Because once the Kovod is engaged, the job of the Moach is merely to run off and find justification. But what we learn from Bilam is that if the Moach is clean, and the Moach is clear, and that can only be done through the process of regular, rigorous Talmud Torah, then the person is in control. And that seichel demands the Ribbono Shel Olam. That seichel corroborates the concept of a Borei Olam. But we live in a world where there's so much stuff going on, and there's probably never been such an assault. There's probably never been such an assault on the Kovod ever in our history. Wherever you go, it's beeping and whirring. Right? It's in the air. It's Wi-Fi. Don't go find it anymore. Such an assault on the Kovod. So never more has there been the need to respond with Ma'atovo Yalecha Yaakov Mishkan Yosecha Yisrael. And Be'ez Hashem, in so doing, by strengthening the Botim Nesiris, the Botim Midrashis, the Limud HaTorah and Beis HaMedrash, and the Avodish Belev takes on in the Mishkanis and in the Beis HaKnesses, Be'ez Hashem Shbitaka Zoicha to achieving Ma'atovo Yalecha Yaakov Mishkan Yosecha Yisrael with the Bina Beis HaMikdash. Merav Yameinu.